Proverbs 10:18. The one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever utters slander is a fool. Proverbs 10:18. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 1, and John chapter 7, verse 24. Two passages of Scripture tonight. One of those, Matthew 7, verse 1, and John chapter 7, verse 24. Most of you are aware of the fact that the pastor has been teaching through the Old Testament on the name Jesus in every book of the Old Testament. But you've also discovered in the last several sessions that things have been a little different. And that means that we've moved to the New Testament for some passages of Scripture and some discussion. So I wanted to assure you that I have not lost my mind, and I do know where I am, and I felt like it was impossible for me to deal with the subject that I wanted to deal with without taking you to the New Testament, at least for four sessions. So on the screen, before we have prayer, I want to tell you about the pastor's detour. When we came to the close of our study in the book of Daniel, under the title, Jesus in Every Book of the Old Testament, we took a four-session detour, which concludes tonight. So I just want our internet master to understand that all is well, and he can put this however when he wants to file it. But we have four sessions. We conclude those four sessions tonight. Next Sunday, we will be moving back into the Old Testament, and we'll begin a study in the book of Hosea. So I wanted you to know where we've been, where we are. The four sessions that we have given attention to, one was we looked at the activities of the Holy Spirit in the age of Israel. That was the first session, a Wednesday night, a week ago. Attention was given to the activities of the Holy Spirit in the age of Israel. Then last Sunday, we considered what God's Word declares of how important it is for us to use our tongues properly. And you remember that from last Sunday morning, the first session. The second session last Sunday morning, we gave attention to how our Heavenly Father desires that we tame our tongues. And many of you didn't need that subject, of course, but you got it anyway. So we dealt with the subject of taming our tongues. And then tonight, before we go back to the Old Testament next Sunday and look then at the book of Hosea, we're considering the important subject of judging right or wrong. I emphasized this subject in June of 2012, and that was, 4 years ago. And I just want you to know that every 4 years, I feel like I need to say something about us being careful with the use of our tongues. And so perhaps I ought to do that more often, but that's what we did 4 years ago. In June and July of 2012, we emphasized this subject of taming our tongues and judging right or wrong. So tonight I'm going to ask you, if you will, to go to Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and then also hold John 7:24, those two passages of Scripture. And we'll begin our study in just a few moments after we have a moment of prayer. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful this evening for the wonderful privilege which is ours to focus our attention upon the eternal truths of your wonderful Word. We know that the Word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. We have the responsibility of hiding the Word of God in our hearts, that we might not find ourselves in disobedience to your wonderful plan. We're thankful that we have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful that you've given us logistical provisions and blessings. And tonight we want to thank you over and over again for the fact that we're members of your family, saved by your matchless grace. We realize that the Scripture says, for by grace you're saved through faith. And that salvation is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. And so we're thankful this evening for salvation grace, for experiential grace, and for dying grace. We pray that you will bless us in these moments of study this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you that tonight already we've looked at Psalm 37, verse 30, which says, "The mouth of the righteous utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice." We quoted that verse just a few moments ago. In Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20, "For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." Proverbs chapter 26, verse 20. Last Sunday, we gave you this verse, and we repeat it tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 7. "A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak." Most of you, when you look at this verse, you hear me and you say, "Well, he said a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak." I want you to understand that that word, T-E-A-R, is actually pronounced tear. A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. I did not misspell the word. That is the way the word is presented to us. It is the word T-E-A-R. The word tear is either a type of vetch, a type of clover, or else a method of expressing product weight. So I just want you to understand what the meaning of the word tear is when it's spelled T-A-R-E. Also, we find that T-E-A-R, which is used in our verse here this evening, is a homonym. It's not a synonym or an antonym. It's a homonym, which are words sound alike. And it's the action of ripping or pulling apart flat, thin tissues like fabric or paper. Now, you're not going to be charged for anything extra on that, but I did want you to see that when I first looked at this, Ecclesiastes 3:7, and I saw that word, the first thing that came to my mind was the word tear. And that may have been the first word that came to your, the thought that came to your mind. But a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Then we have Exodus chapter 14, verse 14. "The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent." In Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, all of us perhaps have heard this verse many times, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." But when you go to John chapter 7, verse 24, it tells us to judge. Now, the question that I have is there a contradiction in the Scripture? Is there a misquote here? And I need to tell you that before we get into it, that there is no contradiction here whatsoever. We have an emphasis, and it's a beautiful expression. I didn't know whether I would get into this or not, but I will for just a few moments let you know that if you were looking at the original text of Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, if you'll go to that passage, and John chapter 7, verse 24, which you look at those verses of Scripture, and when you find them in the original text, you will find that there's a Greek word there, krino, which is the word for judge. And I wanted just to take just a moment, don't want to spend a lot of time here exegetically presenting this, but I feel like it's important for me to share with you that the word krino, judge, is used in different ways in the New Testament. Sometimes it is used as a present active imperative verb, which most of you are familiar with my expression when I give you that, present active imperative, present tense, continuous action, active voice, subject produces the action of the verb. The imperative mood is the mood of command. We've heard that many, many times, and you'll find that in the text that we find in John chapter 7, 24, if any of you are looking at it in the original text in the Greek language, the Koine Greek, you're going to see that the first word, krino, is K-R-I-N-E-T-E. The last letters of that word, epsilon, tau, epsilon. Now, I'm aware of the fact that different translations present it differently, but I want you to see that the next word in that same verse, John 7:24, is K-R-I-N-A-T-E. which is an alpha, tau, epsilon. Now, the reason I'm presenting this to you verbally and not getting into it by presenting it to you on screen, I just want you to see that ETE is an emphasis upon the present active imperative. But if you will find that word with ATA, it's an aorist tense, it's a middle voice, and it's an imperative mood or the mood of command. Immediately, most of you by now, having heard that expression, are aware of the fact that there's a difference between krino or krinete and krinate, K-R-I-N-E-T-E or K-R-I-N-A-T-E. The reason that I'm showing you that is that when you look at this verse, and we'll get more into detail as we move along, when you get into that verse and find it as the K-R-I-N-A-T-E, you'll discover that the middle voice says that the subject participates in the action normally and is benefited thereby. Now, with that background, let me just simply tell you that with that word in the aorist, middle, or passive voice, imperative, it is saying then that you and I have the responsibility of evaluating or judging. In that first passage of Scripture in Matthew 7, 1, it says, judge not lest you be judged. But when you get into John 7, 24, it tells us in that passage of Scripture to spend some time evaluating or judging. And it says we'll be benefited thereby. Did you get that? I trust that I've given you enough information just by looking at it. But let's go now to your King James or whatever passage you have, translation, and let's look at these verses. Matthew 7, 1. Would you look at it, please? Do not judge, lest you be judged yourselves. Do not judge, lest you be judged. Now hold the place there and go over to John chapter 7. And let's look at verse 24. We have an emphasis here, and it says, do not judge according to appearance. But notice what the rest of the verse says. But judge with a righteous, dikaios, righteous judgment. So this is telling us that there's no contradiction in those two passages of Scripture. But it's emphasizing the fact that as born-again believers, we do have the responsibility of being in the position of properly evaluating. If you want to use the word judge, that's okay. I use the word evaluate because it's easier for me to explain to you. In other words, God does desire for each one of us on a daily basis as a born-again believer to be very conscious of the need of giving proper evaluation to certain things in life. So with that in mind, and I'm trying to give a little introduction to let you see what we have presented to us in these two passages of Scripture. That's the reason why I came up with the subject, judging, evaluating, right or wrong. So I'm going to put on the screen now some emphasis on that subject, judging, right or wrong, with a question mark behind it. Again, I'm giving you these two verses of Scripture, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, and John chapter 7, verse 24. In the light of those two passages of Scripture, we must first of all define the word judging. And I've done this, and I'll do it quite rapidly because I want you to see that judging should be defined. We should have a definition of the word judge or judging. First of all, to form an opinion. Secondly, to hear and make a decision. Three, to determine or declare after giving consideration. I'm going to go back and look over this with you because some of you may be taking notes, and if you are, I don't want you to miss the various definitions for judging. To form an opinion. To hear and decide. To determine or declare after time of consideration. To make estimates as to worth, quality, or fitness. To make estimates as to worth, quality, or fitness. Five, to select, choose, or pick out. Now, I realize that I'm talking rapidly, and you may not be able to get all this down as rapidly as I'm speaking, but please abbreviate and get some of this information down. Number one, what does it mean to judge? It means to form an opinion. It means to hear and decide. It means to determine or declare after proper consideration. It means to make estimates as to worth or quality or fitness. It means to select, choose, or pick out. What I do is I look out and I see you. You are resting now, and that means that you've taken all those notes. Number six, it means to evaluate. It means to suppose, to deliberate. All I want you to do when we get through with this particular part of the message is to be able to have somewhat of an opinion of what we're trying to emphasize when we talk about judging or evaluating. Number seven, to hear and decide on in a court of law, for instance, judging a case. The word judge is found over 700 times in God's Word. So now you're able to see that that word is used many, many times in the wonderful Word of God. That brings me to major division number two, which I'm calling judging explained. Judging is wrong when one criticizes out of jealousy. Judging is wrong when one criticizes and is bitter. A person judges improperly when they have selfish ambition or some wrong motive. Now, what I want you to do is to be able to see that we're looking at the attitude that we may have in judging other individuals when it is not proper and not right. Judging is wrong when one criticizes another out of jealousy, out of bitterness, selfish ambition, or with a wrong motive. A person, number two, judges wrongly when he assumes he knows all the facts. A lot of times people are judging individuals and they're sharing that information with other individuals as if they know all the facts. I'll tell you who knows all the facts, and that's God. You and I do not know all the facts, and so we need to be extremely careful when we come to the point of evaluating, which we're calling now judging, if we're looking upon individuals and we're saying things we should not be saying about those particular persons. Number three, judging is wrong when human standards are used rather than the Word of God, God's truth. Judging is wrong when human standards are used rather than God's truth. Number four, judging is improper if one does not first analyze and judge self. In other words, when we begin to try to evaluate someone else, we first of all need to turn our attention to ourselves and analyze our own motives, our own ideas, our own concepts, our own thoughts, and whether or not we're properly related to the Lord Jesus Christ. Judging is improper then if one does not first analyze and judge self. Number five, a person judges improperly when confidential or personal information is shared with wrong intent. Now, I'm going to pause long enough here for you to get this one down because everyone needs to copy this one. Judging is wrong when confidential or personal information is shared with wrong intent. A lot of people, we've been talking about gossiping. We've been talking about utilizing the tongue in the wrong direction, in the wrong way. Judging is wrong, evaluating is wrong when confidential or personal information is shared with wrong intent. I trust you got that one. Number six, judging is wrong when a minor or insignificant issue is being considered and talked about. Do you know that oftentimes we major on the minors and minor on the majors? And oftentimes in Christian conversation, individuals are guilty of emphasizing the non-essentials. We're responsible for emphasizing God's truth, God's Word, and not gossiping or judging or improperly evaluating other individuals. Judging is wrong. Number six again, when a minor, insignificant issue is being considered and talked about. Number seven, judging is wrong when someone makes a pronouncement relative to another's eternal destiny. I need to spend a little time here. All the time, we discover that there are individuals who will look at individuals and they'll say, you know, I don't believe that person is saved. Or I know that person could not be saved by what they say or do or think, and they express their thoughts. Now, do you notice what my point is here? Number seven, judging is wrong when someone makes a pronouncement relative to another person's eternal destiny. Only God knows the heart and who is saved and who is not saved. Did you get that point down? Am I going so fast that you missed it? I don't want you to miss this one. Judging is wrong when someone makes a pronouncement relative to another person's eternal destiny. Only God knows the heart, who is saved and who is not saved. Is it interesting that people oftentimes judge people and conclude that they're not saved by some particular deed or activity, or they, the way they speak, or whatever it is? In other words, what I want you to know is God wants us to be very careful about this area where we say someone is saved or not saved. That's an individual matter. So that brings me then to the general conclusions, number three. John 7:24 gives us God's rules and God's emphasis upon evaluation. There's no contradiction between Matthew 7:1 and John 7:24. There's no contradiction. One verse says, judge not that you be not judged. The other verse says that we have the responsibility of properly evaluating. We do have a responsibility. So in John 7:24, God gives us the rules for evaluation. All decisions, number two, are to be made scripturally. In other words, this passage of scripture, if you'll notice, says, the mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talks of judgment. Psalm 37:30, we've looked at it several times. A believer, right with God, will not refuse to evaluate. Now, what you're beginning to see is that I'm not just saying, judge not that you be not judged. I'm saying, on the other hand, that we have a responsibility, which is God-given, to properly evaluate things in life. A believer, right with God, will not refuse to evaluate or analyze or judge. And the scripture says, seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate the evil, love the good, and establish judgment in the gates. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph. And that's found in the book of Amos, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. Now, you notice I put in capital letters, how can you hate the evil and love the good if you refuse to judge or evaluate? You remember last Sunday, and many times in the last 40-some-odd years, we've been explaining to you the difference between evil on the one hand and God's good on the other hand. I want you to see it right here. How can we hate the evil and love the good if you refuse to evaluate? You can't. We sin when we do not scripturally evaluate. Now, before you draw any quick conclusions and turn me off, I want you to continue, please, to listen to what we're going to be presenting now. The right kind of evaluation, the right kind of judging, pleases God and displeases Satan. We have to understand the difference between evil on the one hand and God's thinking, good, agathos, on the other hand. Evil is satanic thinking. Agathos is God's thinking. You and I have the responsibility of having continually, on a day-by-day basis, God's thinking. The way we get God's thinking is by learning the Word of God. We have the responsibility, I have the responsibility, of teaching you on a day-by-day basis the Word of God. Because that way you will be able to have the ability to see from a vertical divine viewpoint. And you'll also be able to detect Because of your spiritual detector, you'll be able to detect that which is evil and that which is satanic. Evil is satanic thinking. Agathos, good, is God's thinking. How many times have we heard this? 10,000 times or more, perhaps? But you're hearing it again. And the reason is that satanic thinking, we cannot pray and ask God to forgive us of satanic thinking. The satanic thinking has to be erased. The satanic thinking has to be bulldozered off of our lives. We have to have the grater of God's Word to come in and scrape away satanic thinking. In other words, satanic thinking has to be replaced with God's thinking. That's the reason why you and I have the responsibility on a day-by-day basis of listening and learning the Word of God, so that you and I can see from a vertical divine viewpoint and not from a horizontal human viewpoint. I want you again to see the difference between evil on the one hand and God's good, agathos, on the other hand. Can you hate the evil and love the good if you refuse to evaluate? You can't. We sin then when we do not scripturally evaluate. The right kind of judging, the right kind of evaluating pleases God and displeases Satan. Satan has lied to us, saying, leave it alone. Did you notice what I just said? I want you to see that Satan is in the business of constantly lying to us. And he's saying to us, you're not to evaluate. You're not to judge. You're not to be in a position of looking at any situation. And God says, you ought to be in a position of looking at every situation and determining whether it is God given or not. Number three, we're not to judge when the Bible is silent. Don't rush to judgment on an issue when the Bible says very little or nothing about it. I have to stop and let you think about that. We're not to judge when the Bible is silent. Don't rush to judgment on an issue when the Bible says very little or nothing about it. Don't make more of a matter than God makes. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. You find that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 16. Oh, people get so confused right here because they emphasize certain things that are not presented as legitimate in the Word of God. Let no man therefore judge, evaluate you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or Sabbath days. Most of us are familiar with the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Most of us are familiar with the fact that those individuals in that church had great difficulty. And many of them emphasized the wrong things. We'll not get into a presentation of those wrong things now. Number four, we have the responsibility of praying for the ability to judge, evaluate properly. We're praying for the ability to properly evaluate. In other words, if we are saturated with the Word of God and filled with the Spirit of God, then we have the ability to spiritually see what is right and what is wrong. Solomon prayed for an understanding heart to judge and said that I may discern between good and evil, good and bad. For who is able to judge this? They so great a people. And this is found in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. When you go to James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. What does this mean? It means pray for the ability to evaluate, judge properly. I wasn't sure just how long it's going to take me to get through this magnificent presentation, but I'm going to slow down a little bit now and let you think with me because I don't want to go so fast that you miss it. Number five, judge fairly. Evaluate mercifully. Evaluate compassionately. Judge truthfully. Do you see what I'm trying to present? You and I, in looking at these verses of Scripture in Matthew 7:1, in John 7:24, we're able to see that in John 7:24, it says there, with that aorist middle voice, with an imperative, says that you and I, if we are properly evaluating and judging, the middle voice says we are going to be benefited thereby. Now, I want you to know that I'm keenly aware of the fact that some of you may be looking at your Greek New Testament. And I'm aware of the fact that in some of the translations in the Koine Greek, they have K-R-I-N-E-T-E used two times in that passage of Scripture in John 7:24. But other translations will present in that last word, K-R-I-N-A-T-E, which is an emphasis upon the aorist, point of time, middle voice, subject participates and is benefited. And I am convinced that that's the way it ought to be. So we have an emphasis upon the middle voice of the aorist tense, saying that when people have the proper evaluation from God's Word, they're going to be benefited thereby. That's what it's saying. Did I get that over? Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay, good. I have such a magnificent audience, and you are paying close attention, and I believe that you're seeing that. Judge fairly. Evaluate mercifully. Evaluate compassionately and truthfully. Our standard is God's Word. Not our feelings, not tradition, not our own personal opinions. Right or wrong should always be determined by the truth of God's Word. Please, please, whatever you do, put that down. Judge on a fair basis. If you're evaluating, do it mercifully, truthfully. Do not go upon your feelings. Do not go upon tradition. Do not go upon your emotions. Right or wrong, should always be determined by the truth of God's Word. Number 6, judge self thoroughly first. You ought to write that one. Judge yourself through and through first. Number 7, if judging or evaluating is wrong, then the Apostle Paul needs to confess and admit misleading believers. Now, I'm being a little facetious. Are you able to see it? I'm trying to say some things with tongue in cheek, so that you'll be able to see that I'm making light of a situation which you know is very serious indeed. If judging is wrong, then the Apostle Paul needs to confess for misleading believers. Because when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you'll see what the Spirit of God is using the Apostle Paul in relationship to the subject of evaluating or judging. If judging is wrong, then how can we obey Romans 16, 17, and 18? And I've written myself a note. Did you notice my note? I said to myself, read it. I'm going to read it then. Romans 16, 17, and 18. These are powerful verses indeed. Now I urge you, you want to turn to it? I'll give you time. I shouldn't go so fast that you don't have time to turn to the passage. Romans chapter 16, 17 and 18. Look at it. Once you see this from the original text, it will blow your mind. What does it say? I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances, contrary to the teaching which you've learned, and turn away from them. Now stay with me and look at this. I want you to see what it's saying in the original text. I'm urging you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause trouble, dissensions, and hindrances, contrary to the teaching which you've learned from the Word of God, and turn away from them. If you find yourself in the midst of individuals who are gossiping, who are judging, who are maligning, the best thing for you to do is to be sweet, but leave as soon as possible. Don't stay around people who are gossiping and maligning individuals. Whatever you do as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you honor God and God's Word by not finding yourself listening to and participating with those who are causing dissensions. That's what it says. Now stay with me because you're going to find this quite interesting. For such men, I don't know why they didn't say, and women, but I believe it means that. So you ladies, write into your scripture there, women, please. Notice, please, for such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own Greek word, kalia, K-O-L-I-A, which is translated in your King James, perhaps, appetite. But the word literally means the stomach, the kalia, which means an emphasis upon the emotions, because in the Old Testament you have words used for emotion and for the stomach and various words that are used in relationship to the emotions of individuals. And so it says here, for such are slaves, not of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they are slaves of their own emotions. Notice also, and by their smooth, flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. And that word unsuspecting there is an interesting word indeed. I won't even take time to go into the Greek of that particular word. Now notice, if judging is wrong, then how can we obey Romans 16, 17, and 18? And I said, read. If judging is wrong, what about 2 Corinthians 6:17, which says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. If judging is wrong, what about 2 Timothy 3, 5, and 6, which says, turn away from those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Now you'll notice, and I'll let you see again, that that's 2 Timothy 3, 5, and 6. Turn away from those who have a form of godliness, but deny the power of God. If judging is wrong, if evaluating is wrong, why did the Spirit of God say through the Apostle John in 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are from God? 1 John 4:1. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 18, the scripture says, then shall ye return and discern. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Let's spend some time here on Malachi 3:18. Then shall ye return and discern. I found that word discern quite unique in the original text. The scripture says in Corinthians that the natural man, the unsaved man, does not have the ability to discern or to understand or comprehend those things in the realm of the spiritual, because they are spiritually discerned. And that's this word right here. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. Notice, while I study and while I'm typing, I come to myself and I say, self, shout that out to those individuals. Well, how do I say that? In writing, well, W-O-W. Well, I should be saying, well, do you see what I'm saying? Is it wrong to evaluate? Is it wrong to properly see things from God's vertical viewpoint? No, no, no. Number 8, the last point. If the Bible is clear about anything, it's clear about our responsibility of seeing from God's vantage point. Do you see it? Please, please, whatever you do, write some of these thoughts down and understand number 8. If the Bible is clear about anything, it's very clear about our responsibility of seeing from God's vantage point. Oh, you and I have the responsibility on a day-by-day basis of being able to utilize God's truth and look at things and determine whether it's right or wrong, whether it's profitable for us or it's not profitable for us, if we should go that way or shouldn't go that way, if we should think those thoughts or don't think those thoughts, if we should say those words or not to say those words. Do you see what I'm saying? God gives us the ability from His Word to evaluate and know what is to be said, what is to be thought, what is to be done, and what is not to be done, what is not to be said, what is not to be thought. God gives us the responsibility of seeing from a vertical viewpoint. I pause for a moment to tell you a little bit about my studies now for the book of Hosea. I've never in all my years of studying found anything so challenging as I found my study this week and last week in preparation for next Sunday. I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that we have the instruction by the Heavenly Father to a man to go and marry a prostitute. Now that ought to stir you up some. And boy, have I found all kinds of things that I want you to be able to see with me as we get into this study. I found myself studying how God oftentimes does things that seems to be so different than what we anticipate and expect Him to do. There are many things that will happen to you in your life when you will not be able to comprehend the true meaning of it for a little while. And then you'll be able to look back and be able to see how God put things together when you, at the time it was taking place, you could not see it at all. Are you with me? For we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. When I make my way through the book of Hosea, there are times when a lump comes into my throat and I want to just sit there and cry because I'm able to see how God loves and how Christ gives us so much of His love in the Word of God, found also in the book of Hosea. When I find the instructions of God to Hosea to go to the marketplace where they're auctioning off a woman, and it happens to be his wife who's gone out into prostitution, and he's instructed, of course, to get her back. Most of you have heard that story. We're going to get into it, and I want you to be able to see. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever imagined when you see the expression of how God loves Israel and how God loves us, and we'll be able to see it. Now, I wasn't planning on preaching Hosea tonight, but I do want you to see that we have some beautiful thoughts and beautiful and magnificent truths to come from this magnificent and marvelous book, the book of Hosea, starting next Sunday morning. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. We come to the close of our service this evening. We are thankful for God's grace upon all of us. We've been able to see again that we need to have vertical viewpoint, divine viewpoint, as we live from day to day, so that we can use our tongue properly, we can think properly, we can speak properly, we can evaluate properly. Those who are hearing my message tonight, some have yet never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And you need to come to a point in your life where you will evaluate your eternal destiny. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's what the Bible says. We're not talking about time. We're talking about eternity. We're talking about thousands and millions and billions of years. If you know Jesus Christ as Savior, then one of these days you'll be absent from the body. You'll be with Him forever and ever. But if you do not know Him as your personal Savior, to die without Christ is the most tragic thing that could ever happen. And I want to assure you that you don't have to go that way. You don't have to die and go to a place of eternal punishment. You can accept Jesus Christ now, right now, and you can know without doubt upon the authority of the Word of God that you're saved by His matchless grace. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. I do not know who's listening, but I do know that God knows. And there may be a number of people tonight out there somewhere listening to this voice, and you need the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you can have Him right now if you'll just spend a moment in prayer and ask Him to come into your life and be your Savior. Again, the Bible says, whosoever, that's you, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say hope so or maybe so. Doesn't say you won't know until you die. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right then, right at that moment, I encourage you to trust Him now. Father, thank You for Your matchless grace and salvation. We pray that there will be many who will trust You now as their personal Lord and Savior. We thank You for all of Your grace blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.